Well, again, good morning to you. Today is Confirmation Sunday, where we will baptize and confirm two students, Xavier Bonk and Sophia Olker. And it actually fits perfectly with our church's sermon series that we've been doing. If you're just joining us, we've been going through a sermon series called Ancient Paths, going through a line of the Apostles' Creed, which is the foundation of the Christian faith. And the line that we come to today is the Holy Christian Church. Confirmation and baptisms are rites of passage that indicate the personal ownership of our faith, and yet they are the formal entrances into becoming adult members of the church. It is a communal act. It is a rite that signifies our entrance into the body of Christ. It is a proclamation that we share in common, the one Lord Jesus, the one faith passed down from the apostles, the one baptism, the one God and Father of us all. The church welcomes members into its family through these acts. And it is why that no one can baptize themselves. You are baptized by the church and into the church. Why is the church so important? It's important enough that it makes its way into the very short Apostles' Creed. You know, when you hear of systematic theology or biblical studies, I imagine that maybe the church isn't one of those things that comes to mind as a doctrine to be discovered or explored. Yet here it is in the Apostles' Creed. And you've heard me mention the Nicene Creed, which is kind of the expanded version of the Apostles. And it expanded this doctrine by a few important words that I think will help us today. Let me put these up for you. In that creed, it says, we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. Now, there are four words in here that are often called the marks of the church, the things that mark the church for what it is. And those four words are one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. So let me break that down. First, the church is one. No matter how many versions and types of church there are out there, there is fundamentally only one church. The church is called Christ's body. He has one body. Yes, there are many parts. Those parts are diverse and different from one another, but there is one body of Christ. Ephesians 4:4 that was read says, there is one body and one spirit. And this reminds me of what we addressed last week, when we said, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who has drawn us to Christ and made us alive in Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit who gives birth to the church. In fact, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down upon the church, is often called the birthday of the church for this very reason. The Spirit is what draws us to Christ and adopts us, incorporates us into his body, the church. And so the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the church, and the church is now the temple of the living God. We may meet in church buildings of various kinds or in houses in Vietnam, but these things are not temples. We are the temple of the living God. We are the house of God. Look what it says in 1 Peter 2. It says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. There may be many of us stones, but there is only one spiritual house. Like the bricks all around you that make up this church building, there are many of them, but there's just one building, one church. And the fact that there is so much division in the church is not something that changes the truth of this doctrine. It is Christ that holds us together. But the division that we see ought to drive us to repentance. That's why it says in Ephesians 4, be completely humble. Be completely humble and gentle. What if that characterized the body of Christ? Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Would this characterize your Christian life? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Because the church is one, we make every effort to live into that reality of which Jesus has made possible. It's one body, one family, under Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. So when we join the church through confirmation and baptism, we are welcome into the family of God. And everyone should seek to be in unity with those who join the church. And those who join the church should seek the unity of the church as well. So the church is one. Number two, the church is also holy. The church is holy. That means that it is set apart from the world and consecrated to God. It does not mean, of course, that we are all perfectly holy people. We know that to be far from the truth. But it means that we are God's peculiar people, His special possession, His people who are being made holy through the presence of the Holy Spirit who is within us and within each member of His body. That is why the church is holy. And that is why we treat the church with such special care, because it's a holy thing, it's a sacred thing. We're called to be part of a society, a kingdom, a community that is different. That a community that shines a light in this dark world. We shine the light of our good deeds that the people around us might glorify our Father in heaven alongside us. We are holy. Thirdly, the church is Catholic, meaning universal. Now, in our version of the creed that we use the word Christian, but many other versions of the creed use the word Catholic. The covenant actually has both versions in their hymnal, and it seems that the intention of using this word Christian is to make clear to a diverse audience that our belief is in the universal and global nature of the church, whereas for some people, the word Catholic conjures up the image of just one denomination, that is the Roman Catholic Church. But whatever word that you are used to, I don't think it's a big deal, but the point is that from the New Testament times, as the church expanded quickly and globally to different ethnic groups, to peoples of different languages, to people living in different parts of the world, they all recognized they were part of one universal church. And coming into the church was the one place where all the labels and all the identities that we have in the world, all those things that divide people, those things cease to hold power and sway. This is what Paul said in Galatians. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The worldly distinctions of ethnic boundaries, nationalistic boundaries, socioeconomic divisions, divisions that exist between men and women, these are all washed away through the waters of baptism. Not, let me be clear, not that these somehow cease to be realities, no. But the boundaries and divisions and ways that we claim these things as identity markers and boundary markers that divide us from others, that is what is abolished in Jesus' name. The church is for whosoever. Whosoever believes in the name of God's one and only Son shall have eternal life. It's for whoever, people. It is the most inclusive community that's ever existed in the entire history of humanity. Whosoever believes. The gospel goes out to the whole world, to every tribe, tongue, and nation. And don't we want to see that diversity when we get to heaven? Peoples from all across the world in history. And as we enter the church, we enter this universal community, and that is now which becomes our primary identity. We are on team church. You are still you. You're who God made you to be. But the jersey you wear has Christ's name on it. You've taken off the jersey of the world, all those things by which you previously gave yourself identity and status, you take that off and now you have Christ's name. You get to wear the name of Jesus Christ, not because you're holy, but because he died for you. And now you wear his name and you bear his name and you're part of his family, his team. In the early church, they gathered in these households in different places, but they never lost this sense. They were part of one universal church. church is always local. It's always contextual, face-to-face. We joined the membership today. These are the people to whom I belong and God has called me to be for this season. And yet, at the same time, the church is also global and universal all across the world. And when I meet Christians from around the world, as Daisy had talked about, I'm amazed at how we just met, but we feel like family somehow. I'm sure many of you have had that experience. So the church is Catholic, it is universal. And finally, the church is apostolic. That means it is built upon the same faith passed down from the apostles of Jesus, and it continues the same mission as well. Paul said in Ephesians, we have one faith, one faith. And despite our many differences, churches around the world, most churches around the world, still believe in and recite the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. We're all united under this common declaration and faith that have roots that go all the way back to the apostles of Jesus. And by the way, that's why we read the New Testament as scripture, because it was either written by an apostle or it was part of the outworking of the apostles' teaching, which the church devoted themselves to. So the New Testament represents our apostolic faith. This is the teaching that's been passed down from the apostles of Jesus Christ. That's why it holds authority. And so the church is one, holy, Catholic, universal, apostolic. And under these markers, we are invited to join the communion of saints. That's the next line of the creed. We believe the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. It's a communion. It's a fellowship of believers that is local, that is global, but it's also in heaven. Ben Myers writes, the greatest barrier that divides human beings from one another is not culture, language, or class. The greatest barrier is death. It splits the human family into the two classes of the living and the dead. All other social divisions are petty compared to this great division. All human beings are powerless before this fundamental boundary. But in the resurrection, Jesus has stepped across the barrier and restored communion between the living and the dead. He has formed one family that stretches out not only across space, but also across time. The body of Christ is the most inclusive community imaginable because it includes not only those who are now living, but also all believers who have ever lived. Isn't that amazing? We sang earlier in the hymn, the church on earth and heaven. The church is there, and I love the hymn of heaven. When we envision standing beside the heroes of the faith, I can't wait till we get to that day, and I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with the saints who have mentored me and guided me into this faith, with family members and people I've gone to church with. And we're gonna join that great cloud of witnesses, and they're there now, and they're cheering us on, finish your race well. They're cheering us on. Finish the race. And when we finish the race, we're going to join those saints when they go marching in. We're going to join that great celebration. And friends, if you know me, you know that I love the church. It's kind of why I became a pastor. I love the church. But there is a very important distinction I need to make. We do not believe in the church. The church is not the object of our faith. Now, this is a little bit technical, but follow me. There are only three times in the creed where the word in is used. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. So our belief, our faith, our trust, our allegiance is given to God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If our faith was only in the church, we would be doomed. In fact, I was just talking to a friend of mine. We were lamenting all of the falls of various churches and immorality and how discouraging it all is. And if that was what our faith was in, of course, we would have no hope. But we believe in God. and we believe in the one who said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we believe the church is one holy, Catholic, apostolic, because it is Christ. It is Jesus Christ who holds this beautiful body of believers together. And he will one day make us the beautiful bride that we were meant to be. And as for me, I will keep on serving the church. I will keep on loving the church. I will keep on hoping in the church, not because it's the object of my faith, because I believe in the one who said he will build it. And he will bring every good work to completion when he comes again. So that's why we can say the Holy Christian Church in our creed, because we believe in the one who is building it. So to our confirmands, Sophia and Xavier, it's a sacred and amazing thing to officially join the Holy Christian Church through your baptism today. And it's a reminder to us all how holy and sacred and amazing it is that we get to be part of the Holy Christian Church. Amen. We're now going to move into the actual confirmation. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful gift that you call the church. Thank you that you have called us into it. Help us to be faithful to seek its unity, to seek its growth, to seek the edification of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Prepare us now for this moment of confirmation and baptism. May your Holy Spirit work in our hearts and lives, especially for Xavier and Sophia. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Confirmation is a special and unique celebration within the church. It's been my joy, as well as with Jessica and Jake Harvey, to walk with Xavier and Sophia and for myself over these past 2 years. We've had many good conversations about faith in Jesus and many good conversations about Bible and theology, and all of us are proud to see both of them here today. Let me just give you a few thoughts about what this journey is. It is a journey for junior high students to begin the process of owning their faith for themselves. It's in line with a long tradition of around this age, people from the Judeo-Christian culture and other cultures that around this time make a commitment, make a public statement that they truly own this faith for themselves and become adult contributing members of the community. And that is what we are doing this morning. And although that these students are recognized for their achievements in completing the confirmation program, please do not think of this service as a graduation. It is not a graduation. It is one significant step in the ongoing journey of following Jesus, joining his church, building his kingdom, serving faithfully. It's an important step, but it is part of a larger story of how God is working in their lives. There was a time when confirmation was identified with church membership, but the Covenant Church has put a distinction between them. Confirmation is a preparation for a life of faith to be lived out through discipleship and service in the local church. As students grow in their faith, these confirmed students are now eligible and may in time choose to become members of the church. And I see our little ones are coming in. They're going to watch this special service with us. Welcome, welcome. So now I'm going to invite Xavier and Sophia to come forward and affirm their faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Good job. Yay. As part of the confirmation process, they will now give a personal statement of their faith thus far.
Hi, I'm Alex Xavier Bonk. I've been here for about 3.5 years. Before I went to this church, I went to a different church, but my family didn't really seem all that connected there, so we moved to this church where we feel way more connected. When I first came here, I heard that I had to go to Sunday school. I hated it and felt my hardest not to go. But the most powerful comeback, because I said so, overwhelmed me. I wasn't much more excited to start confirmation either. But that now that it's finished, I know a lot more about God and the Bible. But I'm still not happy that I went. I have a lot of assignments to do, and I didn't know what I was signing up for more homework. But the past journey has been really important, even though I didn't expect it to be, because it taught me that the Lord isn't just some guy in a chair doing nothing. He created the universe and helps people through their tough times. The Bible tells the story of those people and how much he helped them. In the end, boring confirmation class helped me learn more about who I am and the timeline of the Bible, and a lot about the stories other than the ones that my parents tell me. In the next few years, I'm going to try to read the Bible more, try not to procrastinate, then procrastinate. I have a real desire to become an author. I like to write awesome stories about world history and surviving unbelievable circumstances like war or natural disasters. One premise I have for a story is about a man's life flashing before his eyes as he falls off a cliff. But with my writing habits, I won't be able to get that novel finished until 2085. Maybe instead I'll have to write for middle schoolers or even elementary. I'm really sure they like stories about people dying tragically. Or maybe I'll just become a comedian. I'm naturally a funny and sarcastic guy, but I've learned that God has a sense of humor and that he gave me mine. Walking into the future, I know that God is beside me and that I'll do great things if I could stop procrastinating.
Hello, Faith Covenant. I am Sophia Olker, and I am here to tell you why I would like to dedicate my life to the Lord by getting confirmed and baptized. My parents started taking me to church at a very young age, and many of you have known me since birth. I grew up hearing Bible stories and sermons and in Sunday school. I loved Old Testament stories like Daniel in the Lion's Den, especially because I have always loved animals. There was a sense of community, and I got to know a lot of different people, older, younger, people who knew Jesus, and people who knew Jesus and people who didn't. I have a lot of friends here and I'm involved in the church. To be honest, when I first thought about going through confirmation, I wasn't very excited, but in the last 2 years, I've grown a lot. I knew a lot of Bible stories, but I didn't exactly have like a whole overarching grasp of the whole story of the Bible. However, I had people in my youth group and confirmation who were willing to have difficult conversations about theological topics. I realized how all of the individual Bible stories connected into one big story that God is telling. My confirmation group is really funny. We're laid back and willing to laugh, but we're also able to discuss big topics. I'm grateful to have many adults that are willing to answer my questions and also be with me through the hard times. When my beloved pet cat Nemo passed away in February of 2023, my confirmation group was there for me. We took a day off from what we were learning and discussed pets and the afterlife. In August, we got two cats named Artemis and Apollo, and every time I see them, I am reminded of how amazing our Lord is for giving us such wonderful gifts. Community is very important to me, and I appreciate being able to have a place to grow with young people. In the next couple of years, I'm excited to be able to be involved with this church. I love being involved in different ministries here, including something as simple as preparing the bread in the morning. Bread has a lot of symbolism here in the church. Every month, we take communion as a group to proclaim that we are united by our beliefs and that Jesus is who he says he is. When I was first helping with the bread team, I commented that there should be a Christian bakery called the Body of Christ. I'm looking forward to graduating from youth groups to community groups and continuing to learn from other generations and people with different stories. We're all so different, but we all have this one thing that joins us together. We're all Christians, and we believe in the same God with the same goal: to be good, loving people who are stewards of the Lord. Our God is pretty sick, and we want people to see that.